Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. Now, way back in 2019, which feels like a lifetime ago, I saw the show Wicked City Blues by Cornell Christensen. Well, he is here today to tell us a little bit about himself and his shows and, you know what, whatever else we decide to talk about. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Cornell to the show. Hello and welcome back.
Thank you. I'm talking from Brooklyn.
Nice. Well, I'm in Toronto, so, you know, and you know what? I was just down in New York a couple of weeks ago, and I got to tour a little bit of Brooklyn. So that was my first time there, which was kind of nice. It was cool. A friend of mine showed me around. So I kind of know your area a little bit now. So,
good.
Yeah. So before we get into talking about your shows and all the stuff you've got coming up, I always like to ask for a 30-second bio, just to get to know you a little bit. Who are you in 30 seconds?
I am a playwright. I write musical theater. I write the book, the story, and the dialogue. I have some great songwriters. And I'm opening my third off-Broadway musical this fall called Marilyn Exposed. It exposes the truth about Marilyn Monroe. And I just made two videos. So we made two videos of two of the song numbers that are up on YouTube right now. And you can search Marilyn Exposed on YouTube to see them. And Jean-Paul, you saw the videos. What did you think?
Good. I love discovering and seeing new stuff and getting it out there. So yes, congratulations on them.
Well, thanks. Well, one of the song numbers is a duet between Marilyn Monroe and her acting teacher, who she shared a bed with for 7 years. But people don't know that Marilyn was bisexual. And this song number is the first lesbian love duet in a musical, in musical history. There hasn't been one. The Prom had a lesbian duet, but it wasn't a love song. It was a I want song. Mm-hmm. So we've got the first one. Yeah. That's going to be a start, just having that number alone. And then the other one that you can see up on YouTube right now is a homage to Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friend, but it's what Marilyn would have sung if she could have. Instead, she sung about materialism, and later Madonna sung about materialism, but Marilyn would not have sung that. And that's what our original song sings about. It's really, really different.
Well, now that we've jumped into Marilyn Exposed, let's talk a little bit about that. How did you come up with the concept? When did you come up with this? Tell us a little bit about the history of the show.
Well, we could do that, or we could go back with earlier history that leads into that. How about that? Okay. Yeah. I come from Hollywood, where I learned creative writing. I was a television producer, writer at 20th Century Fox and Paramount Pictures. I won 2 Emmy Awards for The Paper Chase with John Houseman. And I have my writing secrets that we'll talk about later for all you writers out there want to hear my writing secrets. But I left television in Los Angeles, went to Broadway, and I met up with a guy from my high school, Fairlawn High School, New Jersey, Norman Talheimer, and another songwriter, Stephen Michael Schwartz. And these two talented guys, we wrote a 1950s sci-fi musical called It Came From Beyond. And our big break was we got Tommy Toon's protege, Jeff Calhoun, who later directed Newsies and Grease on Broadway. We got him to be our director, and we went into the New York Musical Theater Festival. And there, it was amazing. People from Disney loved it, but they said our lyrics were too sophisticated for them. And then the Amundsen Theater in L.A. loved it, but they said our lyrics were not sophisticated enough for their audience. How do you win? But we got investors. So we opened a show in Los Angeles, did very well. We got 6 Ovation Award nominations. And then we got a great producer out of that, John Land, who's done 16 shows off Broadway. And we did It Came From Beyond off Broadway. It ran 15 months. Then Norman and I wrote a 1940s film noir musical called Wicked City Blues and opened that off Broadway. That ran 9 months off Broadway. That's the one John Paul saw.
Yep.
And then the pandemic shut them both down. We had two musicals running off Broadway, which is unheard of. And the pandemic shut it down. So here we are. It's been 4 years since off Broadway's been shut down. But during that time, Norman and I, with another songwriter, Beth Lawrence, wrote Marilyn Exposed. We wrote a Marilyn Monroe musical, and we've done five workshop productions, and now we're ready to finally open it. And why Marilyn now? Because new information has come forward about Marilyn Monroe. People on their deathbeds have come forward to talk about, they were there the night she died, and they knew the truth about how she died. So they've come forward. So there's all this new information that's in the musical that we wrote. Although the musical is a big production number, five out of the first seven songs are big musical numbers. So it's very entertaining, but it's got all this new information about how she died, and who did it. We've got that, and we've got witnesses. Our technical advisor was there that night. He heard what happened that night. So we've got this new information that people are going to learn about.
Wow. Very interesting. I'm looking forward to, because I'm going to be down there in the fall. So maybe if everything stars align, I'll be able to see it while it's down there. That's fantastic. So you talked about the secrets of writing musicals. Now we have to know, I love knowing about secrets. So tell us a little bit about the secrets.
Sure. The secrets. Although before we go to the secrets, another thing I did during the pandemic was all three of my musicals, I wrote them into screenplays. So I've got the screenplays for them. And then I've written four other musicals that are all written. They don't have the music written yet. So I have seven screenplays to make seven movie musicals. That's my goal. I want to make movie musicals. I love movie musicals. In fact, you haven't asked me what some of my favorite musicals were when I was growing up, right? Like you do normally ask people. So I'm going to tell you, I grew up loving Wizard of Oz, Sound of Music, Bye Bye Birdie, and The Music Man. So, Jean-Paul, what were your favorite movie musicals when you grew up? Tell me.
I would have to go with, I remember one of the first ones I remember seeing was A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Oh, yeah. Great.
I loved that one. It was just, the show is just so much fun. Outside of that, I don't really, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of movie musicals.
Okay.
So there's very few that I just watched 13, from Netflix. I enjoy that show. It was kind of fun. What draws you to movie musicals themselves?
Well, I'm a visual person. I'm not an auditory person. So I'm not that into stage productions. I like movie musicals, and we'll talk later about the future of musical theater and how those two things are merging. But okay, we can go back to my creative secrets then. Let's go to my writing secrets now.
Sure.
I've got a bunch of them here. So for all you writers out there, listen carefully, because there's some good tips here of how to write creatively that you can get work from and you can sell your projects, okay? Number one, focus on the ideas, not on the words, okay? You need ideas. I was working at 20th Century Fox on TV shows, and I was coming up with the ideas, a good idea for the opening, good idea for the ending, some twist ideas. And then the writers would take them and put them in their script and make all the money. And I was the producer, and I was coming up with the ideas, and I learned that it's all about ideas. And a lot of people can write dialogue, but they can't come up with ideas. So how do you come up with great ideas? Right side of your brain. You got to get into the right side of your brain. Get out of the left side of your brain, which everybody's in now because of their smartphones and the internet. So you got to get in the right side of your brain. That's the creative side of your brain. And how do you get in the right side of your brain? Endorphins. That's jogging, exercise, yoga, having sex, deep breathing, meditation, whatever you can, get into the right side of your brain. Or You can use the Stephen King method, which is smoking pot, smoking cigarettes, doing drugs. So tell me, John Paul, how do you get into the right side of your brain?
I think I just live there, to be honest with you. I'm trying to sometimes get out of my right side of the brain.
You're because, a right brain person to begin with, is what you're saying.
Exactly. So sometimes it's nice to get out and not be as creative. So yeah, I live there. So it's nice.
Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. Number three, I recommend finding a writing partner. It's really important because with another person, you can brainstorm with them. There's more focus. You can set up meetings. You can have structure to the writing of your play or your screenplay. But you need to find a writing partner that complements your weaknesses. So like I'm strong in story and structure, and I needed someone who was good in dialogue, particularly writing female characters. So how do you find a good writing partner? You take a screenwriting class, and they also have classes for writing stage plays. And there you exchange your scripts with everyone in the class, and you find someone that complements what your weaknesses are and someone you like and want to work with. So get a writing partner. That's number three. Number four, get a great concept. Because a great concept writes itself. The story flows right out of the concept. And if it's not flowing out of the concept, then you don't, and you're forcing the writing, then you don't have a great concept. Right now I'm writing a book. It'll be my fifth book I publish. And I have such a great idea that it's just flowing right out of me. It's just writing itself. And that's how it should go when you're writing. Also, what I do is number five, I use a unique structure. If you can come up with a unique structure. And my unique structure is I have two parallel and interconnecting stories that go back and forth between two worlds. So like in It Came From Beyond, I got a high school kid reading a comic book and he fantasizes about being the scientist in the comic book fighting the aliens. But in the high school world, he's fighting off the he's fighting off the bully to help his girlfriend. So it goes back and forth, and the actors play dual roles. They love doing that. They play parts in both worlds, and it's a unique structure to the show. For Marilyn Exposed, I go back and forth between her real self, Norma Jean, which was manic depressive, and her fantasy persona on screen, Marilyn Monroe. And that's the one that the men married and wanted. Unfortunately, they had to live with Norma Jean. Anyway, and you saw Wicked City Blues, we had a radio show, and then we had the film noir murder mystery that went back and forth. The same actors in the radio show then suddenly become the murder mystery. So all my shows have this back and forth, parallel, interconnecting stories. So I have a unique structure to my musicals and my movie musicals when they're made. Okay, number six. Get everyone to read your first draft. And then, I mean, people, they're worried, oh, they're going to steal my idea, you know, and I don't want anyone to see it. No. Get everyone to read it, anyone you can, and find someone who can give you positive, constructive feedback. Anyone can give negative criticism, and you'll get lots of negative criticism. Ignore those people, but get those people who can give you constructive feedback, and they're rare. That's why you got to let everyone read it till you find somebody who can help you. And there, that person will give you ideas. Okay, number seven, but then use a script coverage service. They're about $200. I use them on all my scripts. And then you get a plot summary, you get a log line, which is really helpful. You get character analysis. So for my stage plays, I use Ken Davenport's script coverage service. Very good. For my screenplays, I use the Script Joint. It's only $100. So the Script Joint, $100. So definitely use, when you think you're finished and you think you're ready to submit to wherever you're going to submit your plays or your screenplays to, use a script coverage service. Takes an extra month. Well worth it. Well worth the money. You'll learn a lot. You'll get a lot of things you can use, like a log line and a plot summary. Okay, number eight. Go to all your alumni events for your colleges. I go to USC and UCLA. But go to your friends' alumni events. That's what people don't think of. They think to only go to their own. I go to my friends' Syracuse events and another friend's Yale events. But these are the events where there are people in the entertainment industry. So it's better in New York and LA, but you've got to go to those events because that's where you make your best contacts through your college and their college. So do that, but also go to number nine is go to industry events. Theater industry, movie industry. For example, for theater, I highly recommend Theater Resources Unlimited, known as TRU, T-R-U, mm-hmm. Theater Resources Unlimited. They have a speed dating event where you get, when you finish your play, you get 10 minutes in front of each Broadway and off-Broadway producer, and you pitch your play. And you can meet a producer and get your play produced. So Theater Resources Unlimited, speed dating, highly recommend it. Helped me greatly. Number 10, what really helps when you're doing that speed dating, if you can say to those producers, you have some financing, even if it's just partial financing, any financing makes all the difference because most of these producers, they can't raise money or because it's so hard to raise money for off-Broadway and Broadway is really tough. So if you have any financing, that's great. So I use a method that no one else is using. It's called equity crowdfunding, not donation crowdfunding, which everyone knows about. And all you do, all they do is give a little bit. You can raise 10, 20,000 maybe through donation crowdfunding. But equity crowdfunding under the Jobs Act, the people get their money back. They can make profits from the money they put in. But you can only raise $100,000. But we did it twice. So how do you, number 11, how do you produce an off-Broadway musical for $100,000 when most off-Broadway musicals are $500,000? Or even if it's union, then it's $1 million. So what did we do? We did two and we're about to do number three. I have a genius producer named John Lant, and he's done 16 shows off Broadway. And what you do is you share a theater. You don't open in a theater with eight shows a week. I mean, I've tried it. You don't last long. You run out of money. So you open two nights a week, weekday nights, and then you build an audience. Then you expand to three nights. Then you pick up a weekend matinee. Then finally you get to Friday night. And then finally you get to Saturday night, the expensive rental nights when the show is really going. So this is very smart. Share a theater with other shows, start small and build up. And of course, go non-union. Most off-Broadway shows are non-union. So you don't use live musicians. You record the music, the actors sing to tracks, and you can record the music very inexpensively. And the crews, what we do is we get a lot of interns from colleges who get credit for working on our shows, and we don't have to pay them. And of course, the actors are all non-union, most on off-Broadway, most are non-union. And we don't pay them. The actors don't get paid. So why would an actor do our show and not get paid? Well, first of all, we give them flexibility. They can come and go when they want. If they get a TV gig that week or have to go to a wedding, they can go because our understudies are prepared to do the leads. And they do the leads and they want to do the leads. That's why they took the understudy job. So we have plenty of leads to go on any given week. And that works great. Also, they get a credit. They get an off-Broadway credit. They get reviews that they can quote on their website. They get a video of their performance in the off-Broadway show. We videotape everyone and give them clips to use. And then they get seen by their family and friends in an off-Broadway musical, which many of them are right out of college. And their families are leery about, are they going to be able to make it in acting? And they get to see them in an off-Broadway musical. And then finally, they get exposure. They get seen by casting agents. When our show ran in Los Angeles, who was our lead actress? Alison Brie. And she got seen by a casting agent. And then she got Mad Men and she got Community. So we helped launch Alison Brie. And recently, our lead here in New York was Kathleen Seidel. And she got into a Broadway show, Harmony. She got into Equity. So you do get connections, you get managers, you get casting agents seeing you get exposure. So there's a lot of reasons why actors want to do our off-Broadway musicals. Plus, they're really good musicals, which always helps. So there you go. There's my seven writing secrets, my four producing secrets. That's 11 secrets. And then I also, can I do a quick filmmaker's secret right now?
Sure, why not?
Why not? Even though this is musical theater, this is a good one because this can really help any filmmaker out there who wants to become a film director or a film writer. I got a big secret for you. You have to make a short film to be seen, especially as a director. So how do you make a great short film that wins film festivals? My short films won Comic-Con Film Festival. We won six other film festivals. And I had a great director I worked with, John Coven. We did really well. And what did we do? Here's the secret. You don't put your money, all right, you need a name actor, at least one. You need one. Like we got Jo Beth Williams, the mother in Poltergeist. All right, how did we get her? You get a name, and plus you get a great performance. You get both. So how do you get them? You don't try to give the money to them in your little budget. You give your money to a casting director. You find a casting director. You give them $3,000, right, for the 2-day shoot. And they call in their favors to other actors, you see, who will then work for you for nothing, for $500. Then you get a name actor in your short film. So put your money into the casting director. This is the secret. Nobody thinks of this. And this is how you can get a name actor in your movie that becomes a good movie and wins film festivals. That's the secret for filmmakers. Okay.
Nice. Well, again, let's talk a little bit about Marilyn, if we can, about the show.
Oh, sure. Let's go back to Maryland. Sure.
Yeah. So
Okay.
when did you come up with the idea for it?
Well, I had a friend for years, and I didn't know this. But this friend in his garage were the actual tape recordings from the night Marilyn died. His friend was a major private detective, Otash, Fred Otash. He was actually the detective to the stars. And the night Marilyn died, he was bugging her house, paid for by three different clients. He was getting paid by three different people. Hoffa, the Kennedys, as well as then the FBI and the CIA were also bugging her house. And they tape recorded that night what happened that night. So my friend had these tapes in his garage all these years.
Wow.
Suddenly, just 10 years ago, he came forward and talked about these tapes, which have been confiscated by the FBI, but he heard the tapes. So he's a witness. He listened to the tapes. He knows what happened. And other witnesses just came forward who were there that night. Her housekeeper, the handyman, and there was an ambulance driver there that night. They were all paid off 100,000 each to keep quiet, but they just came forward just in the last two. 2012 was the big turning point year. I started to hear about this, and when it was when my friend came forward, who's now the technical advisor on the show. So suddenly I had all this information, and I got together with Norman Talheimer and Beth Lawrence, and we decided to write a musical about it that mostly, honors Marilyn Monroe for the great actress and person that she was, but also to deal with the myth. There's a myth out there. If you talk to anyone about how did Marilyn Monroe die, they will tell you, oh, drug overdose, suicide. And that's false. That's the myth that was perpetrated by the murderers. And they were the only ones the police talked to in the police report. And most of the biographies that have been written since, including the recent movie on Netflix, the source of the information of how she died came from the murderers. Nobody's got the truth. But now these witnesses are telling the truth. And there are now some recent books in the last couple of years about that. And we have our information that we're going to tell the truth here about Marilyn Monroe. Because my goal here, my mission, is to overcome this false image of Marilyn being a drug addict. She had her life completely together in those final years. She was not on drugs. She was sober. She was looking. She had a big contract with Fox to make movies for $1 million. There's no way she killed herself. I mean, that's ridiculous. She was actually going to remarry Joe DiMaggio. She was going to have a press conference that Tuesday. She died that Saturday night. So you can imagine what happened that night without seeing my musical yet. But you'll see it. You'll see what happened. You will see on stage who killed her, how they killed her, and why they killed her. And I have multiple sources backing that up that can confirm what happened. And that'll be documented on our website for those who want to see that when journalists ask us about that. And they can interview our technical advisor who has firsthand information. And then there's other information just came out under Trump released a bunch of information under the Freedom of Information Act, a report from the FBI that debugged her house that night. And they also have a tape of what happened that night. And that report matches what our witnesses say. So we have that. We have several other people who died, but their children now have come forward with notes from they found from their parents that document what happened that night. So there's plenty of evidence now of what really happened to Marilyn Monroe. And people report that in her house in Brentwood, they still see her ghost there. I think her spirit isn't settled because the truth isn't known. You know, it's and her murderers aren't known. So I think by bringing this play out and getting the word out, particularly when I make the movie musical, then people will understand that, you know, that she was killed. She did not commit suicide. That's just the false myth perpetuated by a big publicity machine that followed her death and continues today, really. And that's what we're up against. We're up against the false image of what happened to her.
Wow. And this is, you're going to be launching this in the fall of 2024, you said?
Yeah, we're shooting for this fall. Everything's ready to go. The play, John Land producing. We got a great director, C.B. Murray. You saw in the video, we got a great Marilyn Monroe actress. Her name is Sydney McCollum Grace. She's terrific. So we're all ready to go. I'm using this new method of equity crowdfunding to get the financing. We got a theater right in the Broadway Theater District, Actors Temple Theater, which you saw Wicked City Blues at. So, yeah, we're ready to go. The big issue isn't even that. The big issue is off Broadway. It's really been struggling due to the pandemic,
yes,
due to lack of foreign tourists. Mm-hmm. And China wouldn't allow their citizens out of the country until last September. They just finally approved group tours to New York, but they're just starting to arrive this month. So we're waiting to see what happens this summer for off-Broadway, whether there's going to be enough support for off-Broadway musicals, because it's just coming back now this summer off-Broadway. Broadway's been okay. They've had last year they came back in 23. They had 92% attendance compared to before the pandemic. But that's not from their normal foreign tourists. Mm-hmm. They're drawing the American tourists from all over America and Canada, United States and Canada, who don't travel now, don't want to travel overseas because of the because of the pandemic. So what they're doing, Broadway's doing okay, but off Broadway is not. But we think this summer it'll be back. Everyone projects at least by next year will be, but we'll see. So I think we're going to open this fall. But if off-Broadway isn't back this summer, we may not. We may just wait till March, you know, when we think it's back. Yeah. I mean, this is a tough time for live theater because of the pandemic. It really is. And people, we need ways to get people to return. They got used to watching at home, in their home theaters. not going out. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But we can use that. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I love going to off-Broadway shows. That those
Oh,
are
yeah.
always the first ones I look at because that's where the new stuff is, or the different
Yes.
stuff, and or the future is. And if I can go see an off-Broadway musical, that's always at the top of my list. I check them first, and then move to the Broadway if I can. Yeah.
Well, look at Broadway this month. 15 new Broadway shows are opening this month,
Yeah.
and all the musicals are jukebox musicals. They're all based on famous people, known songs, low risk, they're not original with original music. So if you want to see original music and original musicals, that's off Broadway, because they can take off Broadway can take the chance, can take the risks. And then if it plays well enough, you can move to Broadway. But yes, you're right. Off Broadway is needed to break new musicals. I don't know if you've heard about what's happened across the country, but all the places across the country that used to develop new original musical theater, they folded. They're gone. They went. They died during the pandemic. They were supported by mostly grants, but also subscriptions. And now, who's going to develop the new musical theater? That's the question right now. And off Broadway is needed to present a number of these new works. And we're just going to have to see what happens. Although, if you want, we can lead into the future of musical theater here.
Yeah, why not? Because I was
Why
just going to
not?
say that, the pandemic hit everybody, and theater was at a good point, and then pandemic hit it, and it just takes time to build it up, and it's slowly, like you said, Broadway finally got to those numbers last year, so it might be even a couple more years before those regional theaters, have got people back, and then can take a little risk on, playing the new stuff and featuring new musicals. It's an unfortunate reality of our business and our
Our
times.
time, right?
Yeah.
Who knew? And I love your optimism. I think so too, but we'll see, because there's this trend going on of people staying home and doing home theaters. And what's coming is, I'm going to talk about
Yeah.
the future of musical theater, and it's not live theater. It's like live theater. It's going to feel like live theater, but the new immersion technology is coming. It's coming faster than people realize. This is virtual reality, but no headsets. This is 3D without glasses, and it's going to be in the home. It's not here yet. Now you need headsets, but coming soon, they're going to have this in the home, where you're going to be sitting, looking at what appears to be a movie or live stage, and it's as if you're watching live theater. And you can share it with an audience. You can sit there with your group of family and friends, and people will gather, big groups and, even parties. And you can share the experience of a live audience with live theater, but it won't be live theater. It'll look like live theater. But the big thing that's good about this to me is, this will bring it to mass audiences across the globe. Right now, the problem with live theater is it's very limited to the amount of people who see Broadway each year, and even see regional theater across the country. It's a very small percentage of the world. But this could bring live theater to everyone across the globe, to all economic classes. This is the democratization of live theater, of Broadway theater. And I think it's going to be sensational. Well, I don't know whether that's 10 years away or when. But this immersion technology, that all just in my neighborhood, the sharpest people that I meet are all in immersion technology. They're all doing cutting edge stuff with startups left and right. And it's coming, I think, faster than people realize. I think it's going to be very exciting. But you'll still have your live, of course. There'll still be, and the ticket prices will keep going up and up. And the rich can afford it, of course. But other people, who never could and have never seen Broadway, they will have their chance finally. They will feel like they're sitting at a Broadway show, is what I'm saying. It'll be the experience. There won't be live actors there in front of them, but it'll feel like it. And they'll be surrounded by family and friends, so that it'll feel like a shared audience experience. That's what's coming. That's the future of musical theater.
Yeah, Broadway has an accessibility issue, be it physical getting to New York or financial, just buying the tickets, or just they've something's got to give in New York. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it's going to fix it. It's going to hit a point where they're going to look at the tickets and go, can't afford that. I can't get here. And something's got to give. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what it is, but accessibility of, being able to sit in your home and see a show, that will make a huge difference and open it up to, there's a statistic I heard, and I don't know whether it's 100% true, that, one in four people have only been in a theater before. 75% of people have never been to a live theater and seen a live show. And, I kind of believe it too. And, doing what you're talking about will open it up for that other 75% to be able to see live, but not live theater, and get that. There's a different experience than seeing a movie than live.
Yeah, and where most of those people are, they're seeing the high school productions
Yes.
of their spring musical, which are now terrific the way those are being done. They've really got that formula down where they hand off all everything they need, and they even give them a video, and the direct musical directors in each high school just copy what's on the video. I put on some terrific productions. They're given great sets and props and costumes. And that's where kids are seeing good musical theater in high schools. But then to be able to afford Broadway or even any good route, any national tours in regional commercial theaters, it's tough. Those ticket prices are high, but off Broadway, you're right. Off my show, we're $75 a ticket, but you can get a half price ticket for $35, over at in Times Square. And to see our musical with 12 dancers singing and dancing on stage, with great songs, original songs, is great. It's great entertainment. That's why we were doing well before the pandemic hit. And it's just one of those things. Although I'm a believer that things work out for the best, I've seen how all the great things that have happened because of the pandemic, the good things that have happened. So I think the world is getting be gotten better and getting better, and I think now it's a time for musical th well, the movie industry is going through a paradigm shift, and I think it's time for musical theater too, and I think we're about to see that come, and I believe it's going to come through immersion technology. We're gonna and it's going to explode. It's going to be great. It really is.
Very cool. Is there anything that you're working on that you want to promote, or anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I should talk about you saw Wicked City Blues because that's going to reopen, and that's
Right.
a 40s film noir, Humphrey Bogart detective story. It's really good. Norman Talheimer did a great job with it. He wrote all the songs and all the dialogue in that, and it's something different because nobody's seen anything like this. And it's exciting right down to the end, like in the film noir movies of the 40s. You don't know whether the femme fatale that the detective is falling in love with is the murderer and it's going to kill him, or will they end up in love at the end? It gets very exciting. So we've got that musical that I think everyone will see it as a movie musical in the near future. I've got the screenplay. And you saw it, you saw that production. And then the other one, It Came From Beyond, which is 50s sci-fi. What I've done there is I had already written two sequels to it. You got the stage play that ran 15 months off Broadway with Jeff Calhoun involved, and he did some terrific work on that. And Stephen Michael Schwartz did some great songwriting with Norman. And that one, I took the two sequels and I wrote them into a four-part mini series. So it's four parts, and with the same characters in each part, a different story arc, and one major story arc running through the four episodes. And I'm proud of the fact that it's got such a great theme. It's got a theme that's really positive for young people about you know, it's similar to the force is within you, but, you know, reach within yourself and find your own power to save the world in this case. And also what we've done, and here's where we talk about live stage can be really good. This particular stage show has audience participation, which is rare in musical theater. And in this one, the aliens take over the world and they turn the audience into zombies. And the audience has to do whatever the head alien tells them to do. And the kids love that. You know, they're being controlled and have to do things. But at the end of the show, the kids get to kill the aliens with the mind power dance. They love that too. So we've got this audience participation. By the way, that song number, the Mind Power Dance, and it came from Beyond, was named one of the five best sci-fi dance numbers of all time by Gawker. And in that song, they get to kill the aliens. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a great family show, and it's a great show for kids. And that's where you lose the audience participation. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe if they watch it at home, they'll still kill the aliens. I don't know. Maybe we can figure out how to make that interactive. I don't know. So those two. All right. So I write genre. I've got a 40s film noir. I've got a 50s sci-fi. I've got Marilyn Monroe, which is 50s. And then I've written a 60s Sword and Sandal. You know what Sword and Sandal is, Jean-Paul?
I'm going to say Sandal. No, just to be safe.
What'd you say?
I'm going to say just to be safe.
Sword and Sandal, Hercules, Amazon women, sandals, swords. Yeah, Sword and Sandal. And that one, and it's funny, in looking at the Wonder Woman movie, the opening of the Wonder Woman movie was exactly what I already written the opening of mine, where a man gets washed ashore on an island and it's all Amazon women. And he's the only man there. And then the difference between mine is I stay on the island with the Amazon women. And in that movie, she leaves and goes to what? London. And wasn't nearly as good as mine. Anyway, I go back and forth. My unique structure. It's an Italian film company making a Hercules movie in the 60s, but they're going to make a musical one because they want to lose money. It's like the producers. Yeah. They're going to make a bad musical of a Hercules movie, but it goes back and forth. And then you have the actual story itself of these people on the island, the Amazon women and the one soldier who's followed by it's called Unchained Muscle is the name of it. And these gladiator-like muscular men arrive on the island to rescue their guy and confront the Amazon women. So it's a lot of fun. It's very sexy. It's almost kinky. But it's a lot of fun. That's my 60s Sword and Sandal called Unchained Muscle. And then I've got another one that I've completely written that's ready to go called I'll Take Manhattan. And in this one, an Indian chief discovers some hidden papers that show that this Indian tribe owns part of Manhattan Island that the Dutch had bought from them. But it reverts back from them in the year 2025. So they go to court to get back their land that's now Wall Street, right? And the judge, who happens to be a Native American Indian, rules in their favor, and they get land in Manhattan. So in a settlement, they give them part of Central Park. So this Indian tribe moves into Central Park, sets up their Indian village, and starts to live in Central Park. And so what do they want to do to make money? They open a casino, of course, the only first casino in New York City. And the plot goes from there. And it's a musical. It's a musical. In fact, Jeff Calhoun wants to direct this one. So we'll see what happens there. So that's my other one that I have. And then I should mention my books. I published four books, two history books, one legal book for you filmmakers out there. It's Secrets for Independent Filmmakers of How to Do Your Legal Work Without Needing a Lawyer. So look for that book. And then I wrote a medical book because I was pre-med in college. I was going to go to medical school, and I didn't, but I wrote a medical book. I ghostwrote it for a doctor who came up with a technique for ALS, using coconut oil and other things. It's helped thousands of people who are suffering from ALS. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life was ghostwrite this book. And I'm really proud of that. And it's just one of those things. ALS is just awful, just awful. So there's that. And then I'm writing a philosophy book right now. This is my big new book that I'm writing every day now. This is what I'm doing. It's writing itself, I have to say. It's writing itself. And I'm hoping to get it published by the end of the year. And I don't mind if I have to self-publish it, I will. And this is going to be my big thing, this philosophy book. This is going to be my big thing, I think. But we'll see. We'll see.
You are one busy man. Let's just say, leave it at that.
Well, can I say something about myself
Sure.
that people don't know?
Yeah.
I'm autistic. I have Asperger's syndrome, is what I have. Okay. But I want to mention that others who have that include Steven Spielberg, Bill Gates, Elon Musk. So Thomas Jefferson had it. And so I think differently than other people. In fact, I've been tested at five different medical schools, put electrodes on my brain, and tested where in my brain I think when they showed me visual stimulus and audio stimulus. And they showed me, even in the maps they created, how my brain thinks different from other pe normal people. And the negative side is I have trouble bonding with women because I don't make eye contact with people. I re read lips because I have trouble communicating, understanding people. So I read lips. And then the women don't think I care. I'm interested because I'm not making eye contact. I mean, Spielberg and Gates, they pretty much married their secretaries. If some woman gets aggressive and comes on, and maybe I could end up with a woman then. Anyway, so the negative side, socially, it's been difficult for me. But on the positive side, I write in my mind. I can write scenes in my mind. It's a gift. I consider Asperger's syndrome a gift. And it's led to my being able to write the way I write and think the way I think. So I'm going back to my first tip on creative writing. It's the ideas. Go out and become autistic. And then you'll get great ideas. No, just kidding. No, get great ideas any way you can. Get into the right side of your brain any way you can. Get a writing partner, get a great concept. Up with a unique structure, have everyone read it, use the script coverage service, go to your alumni events, do equity crowdfunding, and do a musical for $100,000. That's my formula coming from the heart, comes from the heart here.
That well, there's not much more to say after that. That's the perfect way to
Well, I think
say
we can
well.
wrap this up then. This has been great,
Yeah.
Jean-Paul. I appreciate this time to talk about our upcoming Maryland show. I hope everyone will come see it. And you can always follow me on LinkedIn. Track these musicals, see how they're doing, when they're reopening or when Maryland is opening, what's going on, when the movies are being made, all that. Check with Cornell Christensen. It's Cornell at Cornell University. Christensen, like the son of a Christian, but I'm not a Christian, but I was a son of a Christian. My parents were Christians. I'm more Buddhist. But you'll have to read my book, my philosophy book, to see what I really am. I'm not an extraterrestrial. I swear I'm not. I claim I'm a human. I claim that. That's my belief anyway. But we shall see. Who knows what life will bring you, right? You go with the flow,
Exactly.
right?
You never know. You never know.
You never know.
Cornell, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about yourself, your secrets, your philosophies, your shows, and everything about you. And when I'm down in New York next October, next fall, if the shows are on, I'm going to go check them out for sure, as
Absolutely.
everybody should check out and support Off Broadway first. before Broadway. No, go to Broadway, but make sure you go off that street, check out the little theaters with their shows that are unique, new, and you know, deserve support as well. So again, thank you for coming on today, and all the best with everything you're working on. I look forward to seeing where they go in the future.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
You're a good guy.
Thank you. All right. We were just speaking with Cornell Christensen here on Be Our Guest. Tune in next week as we'll speak with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Jovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.